Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, Shippy, and Brian Broaddus in studio with us right now. It's
sounded kind of nice rolling off your tongue.
It is over the power hour at the moment. If you're liking the show, if you like Broaddus, let us know. At KNC 105.3, at In The Majors, at Oh Think Kevin, at Shippy on Twitter, and also at Brian Broaddus.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you guys letting me come in today.
Thank you.
Thanks for sticking around.
Nice to hang out and get a few more reps. Always good.
A lot of people don't realize we used to have you on for an hour every Wednesday night.
Yeah, was fun.
And it was a blast, so we always enjoy having you around. Yeah. And then, you know, we had you for Peace-a-thon. This year at Peace-a-thon, 8 to midnight.
I will be here from 8 to midnight with you. And then I got pregame show the next Thanksgiving the next day, so it's going to be a marathon for me for 2 days, but I love Peace-a-thon. That's one of my favorite things we do here. I love Peace-a-thon.
We dropped the ball last year. We did not get to retell the naked tuna story.
Oh, we'll tell it this year. Get ready.
100% this year. If you've ever wondered, what would a story involving naked Bill Parcells sound like? It'll happen on Wednesday.
As you're donating to my possibilities, I will tell you the story.
All right. Ooh,
the more you donate, we'll stop. Like, because that might be the way it ends. You're like, then he took off his pants. You're like, nope, $100. Stop it.
All right, 877-881-1053. Text in your questions for Broaddus. We always love doing this segment because Broaddus can answer anything. His insight's unmatched.
Thank you.
When it comes to scouting. From the 214, Broaddus, I'm a fan of Jarwin, but if the Bucks make O.J. Howard available, would you give up a fifth for him? Arians just doesn't utilize him.
No, that's true. You watch Tampa play. O.J. Howard was a guy. Boy, I loved him coming.
Yeah.
I know Jeff Cavanaugh. You know, we were all
kind of Alabama, right?
Alabama, absolutely. There's a lot of really quality tight ends that have come out. But, you know, I'm one of these guys that I believe, and I don't believe it's for the lack. I just think they need to better utilize Jarwin's snaps. If he's on the field,
he shouldn't be blocking.
No, he shouldn't be. But by the way, though, the play that they killed the game with, the waggle that they got the first down with last week to kill the game.
Yeah.
Boy, what a great job by Jarwin getting abused at the point of attack and then circling out and getting into the route. So, I feel like, though, this is my X factor, guys. Him, Pollard, in this game this weekend, somebody is going to have to step up. I'm not going to give a fifth for Howard because I do think there is a lot of value in Blake Jarwin. I am totally sold on him.
Would you rather have him on the field than Witten?
Oh, I tell you what, though. To me, I'd absolutely like to have him on the field. Now, Witten made a great play on third down and 4 for 11-yard catch. You know, kept the chains going. I think it was the screen on they finished the drive with the screen to Zeke that ended up in the end zone. Witten's still capable of making those underneath plays, but he also was open on the play with Dak Prescott rolled to his right and then tried to dive into the end zone.
Yeah.
Witten was wide open and he didn't get him the ball. So Witten's still capable, but Jarwin needs more opportunities. If you're going to throw to Cobb and Cooper and Gallup, I tell you what, throwing to Jarwin is not a bad thing. But no, I would not give a fifth for Howard because I think that much about Blake Jarwin.
All right, the other person you just mentioned, Tony Pollard. Got a couple of Pollard-based questions.
Yeah.
I'm just going to like ram those together. Are we finally going to see Zeke and Pollard together on the field more regularly? And then the follow-up was, when Tony Pollard got a whole series to himself in Detroit, it looked good.
It does.
Will this lead to more consistent, maybe even late game?
Yeah, see, this is where, if you go back and look at the number, if he's playing double-digit snaps, the team wins. When he plays just below that, the team doesn't win. There's something to Tony Pollard's game. Again, I'm lumping him in there with the Jarwins and those guys that are going to, somebody is going to have to X factor in this game. If it's close, tight, tough, like we think it's going to be, somebody is going to have to be a difference maker. Tony Pollard is a great, great player to have in this kind of game because he's so explosive. The screens, the little pop passes, the things like that, the quick hitting plays, those are what you need from Tony Pollard. And yeah, get him on the field with Zeke. at the same time? Absolutely. Create problems, create confusion. The Patriots linebackers, bigger guys, don't always cover so well. They've had some problems in some coverage with their linebackers. Take advantage of that. Get him on the outside. Get him in space. Those are things that, you know, teams have taken advantage of you throwing to the running backs. Why don't you do the same to them? Yeah. Absolutely.
And you know what? I think that's the Cobb and the Pollard game could yes. be the key to what
Absolutely.
The Cowboys
Absolutely.
Do on Sunday.
Absolutely.
From the 8-1-7 against New Orleans last year, this defense did not miss hardly any tackles.
Right.
Why this year are they one of the worst in the league?
You know,
Heggie talked
about it. That's right. You get guys that lunge. You get guys that get in position and then lunge. And they've had a lot of guys arm tackle and stuff too, not throw. Sean Lee's a prime example of guy that wraps up, but Sean Lee's missed some time. I mean, the last couple of games has been a big problem. I'm watching the secondary tackle in the preseason and stuff, and the starters, and I'm watching Awuzie and those guys, Byron Jones. The safeties were really bad last week in this game when it came to overall play. But yeah, the tackling has got to improve, and if it doesn't, you know, the run after catch. That's why you talk about the screens and stuff like that. What should be maybe a 5 or 6 yard gain turns 12. Into a 25 yard gain because you don't tackle. And it's something they work on tackling. Trust me, they don't take guys to the ground, but they are every week, every practice, every day working on tackling. They just have been just awful at it at times this year.
There could be any variety of Ezekiel Elliott questions. I'm sure I could rattle off 10, but this is like just straight to the point from the 240. Broadus, is it the line not blocking or Zeke not hitting the hole? I'm sure you could argue it's a combination of the two, but like what is your primary factor for this?
They've had problems getting blockers up on second level, and Zeke's inability to make the first guy miss has been a big problem.
And that's a newer problem.
That is a newer problem with him, and it might be it has to do with what we've seen with the carries and the touches the last several years, that we don't have that quickness, that explosive. Now, you get into the secondary, the finish the run and stuff like that. Yeah, you see that. I mean, you see him going forward. But hey, prime example of what's going on this year. Cowboys have only completed 33% of the time 4th-and-1. Think about that. The league average is almost 60%.
And you think with this line back, it would be 80%.
You think about getting – now, that's a decision Garrett's going to have to make. Okay, 4th-and-1, do you go for it? Well, 33% of the time, you only make it. That used to be when it was 80, 90% of the time, 3rd-and-short, 4th-and-1, they were getting it. He's not the same player when it comes to running the football now.
Go ahead.
To me, there's times where he's been able to hit the hole and you see a nice finish, but he hasn't been able to break away, break through. Everything is going forward, but we haven't seen that explosive player. It's on the line. It's on his inability to make the first guy miss. And then also, though, that ability to finish like he needs to do.
To your point, in years past, if you were anywhere near midfield and it was 3rd-and-2, I would have told the team, you have 2 plays to get 2 yards and we're going no matter what.
Yeah.
A couple different questions involving Cheeto, and it really boils down to
this. Played better last week, which was kind of weird.
But before that, why does he keep getting beat?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't understand that Chris Richard teaches a technique that is, when hands up, your hand goes up too. Play the eyes of the receiver. Don't look for the ball. When guys turn and look for the ball, which they call pass interference when you don't look for the ball. But Richard is a guy that very much teaches about when hands go up, eyes go up, your hand and our eyes go up with them. And that's something that he is taught. And that's how he's played. The things that I worry about, though, with Cheeto, we saw a little bit better last week. The inside breaking routes, the guys trailing. Too many times we've seen them trail. You know, you got to get up there. You got to get on. You got to be on that hip, that shoulder. Be able to deny the football. We've seen too much hesitation from him in the way he's played. It's troubling to watch it, but last week against some quality receivers, played much better, was more active, was around the ball, was defending the ball. There's too many times he's been playing on his heels, allowing guys to go in the inside. Can't have that and be a good corner.
I'm going to add to this question because I like balance, because we're a fair and balanced show. I don't know if you've ever heard anything like that before.
It's like the head coach there, balanced offense.
From the 972, biggest disappointment this season. That being said, also biggest surprise and excitement.
I way overrated what's going on with the middle of this defense with Malik Collins.
Yeah,
I way overrated the linebackers. You know,
Me
with
too.
What's going on, And then, you know, have we seen a total breakout of Xavier Woods? You know, I'm looking at the whole middle of this defense, you know, and I'm kind of disappointed in myself for sitting there and saying, you know what, this Malik Collins, I'm watching him go against Zach Martin for 30 straight practices, and boy, he's doing a great job. And wow, look at that. If he's taking Zach Martin to task, well, gosh, he could beat anybody in the league. Haven't seen that nearly enough. Haven't seen the negative plays from this defense. I expected these linebackers run through, negative plays, tackles for loss. Hasn't happened. The turnovers, that's another troubling thing too, but that's happens about with the middle of your secondary, with your safeties and stuff.
Okay, turnovers and special teams. I feel like we've had these same basic conversations for years and years. Yeah. It seems as though the Cowboys identify this as an issue. Corey identifies it. We all identify it.
That's why I asked Mickey about the kickoff return stuff, or the kickoff coverage stuff.
But they do nothing. It feels like they do nothing about it. Like when Brett Maher a few weeks back missed a couple kicks, Jason Garrett's like, oh, he's made lots of big kicks for us over the years. Awesome. Like, which ones?
Yeah.
And so why don't we ever bring in, why didn't we not even bring in somebody to compete? You can ask who, and that's fair. But I just, somebody to make you feel like when you're not doing your job is under pressure.
Like Brett Maher coming in for Dan Bailey?
Yes! That kind of that. Yes!
We didn't even know there was a kicking competition going on at the time. I remember standing there with Mickey, and all of a sudden they started missing field goals. Dan Bailey.
Leg action.
What's going on here, you know? I mean, why are we watching? What are we watching here? We've got watching guys miss field goals. And he goes, I guess we need to kind of pay attention closer. But yeah, they look at the situation. Now, the Patriots have gone through a bunch of kickers themselves. So, you know, with that, their primary guy is on injured reserve. So, you know, they've had to struggle along. Gostkowski has been on injured reserve. So they're having to go through some guys, Nugent, now, you know, Folk. We'll see. I mean, they trust Brett Maher. They do. Now, the Tolos, not so much. I can tell you what, sometimes it's a 38-yard field goal, and I'm going, okay.
The numbers say they shouldn't.
Yeah. This, you know, and I think there's times where he's fooled this coaching staff. You know, Garrett kicking early in that Minnesota game. You know, that to me, and I'm not second guess, but early in the game, that's a punt. Punt, play defense. That's not try a 57-yard field goal, but people out there, the total say, well, hey, Broadus, he makes 60-yard field goals all the time. You know, but not in that time. I think that Brett Maher gives him certain comfort as he also makes them scared to death. That sounds terrible to say, but that's really
fair.
What
this is a Corey question. Yeah. The quarterback doesn't have a contract, but you kind of get the sense that he's around.
God, I hope.
The head coach, interesting. The head coach doesn't have a contract. Do
I need to say that?
Do any of you guys have a sense, Kevin, that in Broadus, that he gets the feeling that his job is under fire, that he's feeling any pressure?
Oh, he's
about
from
it.
A football family. He wakes up every day. He wakes up every day trying to get better. I legitimately believe everything that Jason Garrett says when he stands up there about getting better every day. I think I think that's how he lives his life. But I will say this though, he comes from a football family. He knows he's had a 10-year run. That's incredibly long in the National Football League, unless your name is Chuck Knoll or Tom Landry or Don Shula or one of those guys.
Right.
We live in a different era now with a coach. Yeah, they're talking about firing coaches now after 1 year.
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing is I believe what you're saying, but I also think he operates under the old era. I always say that
there's no question.
He operates his dad would out of the 1987 book of football.
Yes, I was with his dad for 6 years. Yes. That's what he believes. He believes that this is a very modern game. And you're talking to a guy that fights every day. I fight people on this station about, don't do this and don't do it. You have to do it this way. I need to open my eyes. You know, I think we all need to open our eyes because this is where football is going. It is about the offense. It's about scoring points. It's about throwing the ball. It's about those things. It took a bat to the head to me a couple of times to realize that, but you're right. This is the way this game is going. You need to throw the ball, and this quarterback can have success doing it. But Garrett came up, and he's a product of his environment. What happened with the Cowboys? Aikman throws the ball, they get a lead, and then what do? They hammer it at you to finish the game. Trust me, I stood on the sidelines with Green Bay Packers and watched them do it to me 7 times. Matter of fact, I watched him do it in a Thanksgiving Day game.
Yep. That was 25 years ago today.
Exactly. So this is where we're all coaches are products of their environment. They are what they believe. And that's, and it's hard for some coaches to change. And he's one of those coaches.
On the 214, can we just get Brian Broaddus a show on the station already? I'll work on that. But yeah. In addition to that, he is now on the pre- and post-game show.
Happy
so
to do that, yeah.
Cowboys, 12:30 pregame. The game kicks at 3:25. All of that with Broaddus exclusively right here on 105.3 The Fan. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian Broaddus. Man, we really appreciate having you on the show at all times and look forward to seeing you Wednesday night for Peace-a-thon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. And thank you guys again for having me on. I'm really excited about being on the pre- and post-game show. I think we're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of content, get into it, chop it up. And then when it's over with, win or lose, we will dive into all the issues. Trust me on that.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, from the 469, why does Kevin hate Luka?
Nope, not true.
That's a question nobody can answer.
Great question.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we go around the NFC East. The one saving grace of the Redskins season. Plus, what if the Eagles would have gotten this quarterback? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Pre-gaming for the G-Bag Nation. We'll cross-talk with them in just a little bit. And then you'll get them from 2 to 7 tonight. And then you're into your weekend. Shippy and I will be on the road at Shark Club on Sunday at 3 o'clock for the Cowboys against the Patriots. Can you dump that, Shippy? Can you dump that, what I just said? Huh? I said the game, the name of the teams.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
We've had a lot of meetings about this.
Yeah, lots of meetings, Kevin. I know you're it'll be the Dallas team against the New England.
Yep. Are you guys looking forward to March craziness?
Yes, March craziness.
Come on, what are we doing?
And the Super Game.
Oh, you shut your mouth.
But yeah.
Couple of quick notes for you on football.
Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner are officially ruled out this weekend, so adjust your fantasy lineups appropriately.
And they're playing the Bengals. Could this be the time? And then Aaron Jones said his fine against Byron Jones on that hit has been dropped from $10,500 to about $6,500. So
interesting. How do they do that?
I mean,
how do they come up with this?
If you're telling the truth in the meeting, maybe they'll listen to you.
Oh, wow. All right, let's go around. You know, there are a bunch of teams in the NFC East, Kevin. Actually, there are four. And
that's
we
true.
Want to talk about every single one of them. So let's rumble through the East.
Always choose your own adventure when we rumble through the NFC East. Which would you like to go with first?
Cowboys.
Oh.
In your face.
Okay.
Plot twist.
So this came out right after we went off the air, and we didn't really get a chance to chat about it. I just want to know what y'all think about this question. Essentially, Amari Cooper was asked about Michael Gallup's contributions as a number two wide receiver, and he said, quote, first of all, I don't see Gallup as a number two receiver. I see him as a number one receiver, especially with the things that he's done, this only being his second year, making all the plays he's making. So I forgot the question. I blanked out when you called him a number two receiver. Maybe I want Amari Cooper to be my hype man now.
That last sentence right there is my favorite sentence.
I blanked out when you called him a number. Oh, I got to do the whole thing. So I forgot your question. I blanked out when you called him a number two receiver.
I love that, man. And that's the, you know, that's the kind of, you listen to those guys do the their stuff on the sideline. It's one of my favorite parts of the recap that they do every week. The DallasCowboys.com website does that recap and tweets it out, and it sounds from the sideline. And the conversations that go on between the receivers are my favorite, because each one of them is talking about, did you see what I just did? Did you see how I shook that guy? And they're, you know what they're doing also? They're communicating how you beat the opponent. They're communicating some of the best stuff, but they're flashy. And they love each other. You can tell they all love each other. Those three receivers, for sure. I haven't, you know, heard Tavon in the mix of that very much, but those three specifically, Cobb, no, not like that, Shippy. Amari Cooper and...
I don't know what the Tavon disrespect's all about.
And yeah, Gallup, they all seem to really have a great affinity for what they're doing out there.
And in case you missed it, we confirmed with Jerry that Leighton Vander Esch is not going to play this weekend, and he described it as somewhat similar to some of the concerns that folks had going into the draft, but they do not believe that it is career ending.
Interesting.
All right. Or career threatening, I guess I should say. Right. Do you guys want to go with the Giants, the Redskins, or the Eagles?
I'm going to go Giants.
Ooh, okay. There's some interesting stuff happening in the world of the Giants. So, first of all, Daniel Jones is a fumbling machine. So he already has 9 lost fumbles this year. That leads the NFL. So the question was asked, will you do what Tiki Barber did? Back in 2004, Tom Coughlin, when he became the head coach of the Giants, he set up with Tiki Barber and practically made him carry a football around the clock so he would stop fumbling. And Daniel Jones had a pretty succinct answer. Will you follow the same method to stop dropping the ball all the time? Quote, I haven't done that, and I'm not sure that I will.
Nice.
So, hey, do you want to get better at that? Whatever.
What a fantastic answer to that question.
But really who he should be following are the traits of Saquon Barkley. So Saquon Barkley had a really rough last couple of games. You know how he fixed it? This is my favorite solution to fixing a problem about yourself ever. He said he watched film of himself during the bye week. Quote, there's a reason why I got drafted here. There's a reason why I'm one of the best running backs in the league, and I'm just going to go out there and do what I do. He said after watching himself on film, he reminded himself of how awesome he is.
Okay.
That's amazing.
All right, so when Joey Gallo is struggling at the plate, what does Joey Gallo do to fix his game? He looks at himself. He doesn't go look at pitchers.
He donated a jersey to Peace-a-thon.
Well, that was a smart move on his part. I mean, maybe he does go look at pitchers. Maybe he does go and try and figure out, you know, what their sequences are and everything. But he's probably trying to figure out what's wrong with his swing, or maybe if something changed, or if he's doing some
pictures from your cell phone.
Yeah, taking pictures of yourself is always good. So I think that's a smart decision. Sometimes, and maybe Zeke should do that. Maybe Zeke should go back and remind himself of what he was doing whenever he was in his rookie season that he's not doing now. But maybe Broaddus is right. Maybe just the wear and tear of all the carries that he had early in his season are creating a Zeke that's not the same. But with Barkley, that's a smart move, man. Watch yourself. See what you're doing different.
I just love his quote. There's a reason why I got drafted here. Absolutely. After watching himself.
Yeah, you have to believe that about yourself, too.
I appreciate that. I do. All right, you want to go with the Redskins or the Eagles next?
Let's go Redskins. Oh, that does not sound good.
What?
Nothing. Nothing.
Okay. I don't want Shippy to. What, you think that should be a drop?
No, I don't want it to be.
Good thing you decide those things.
Oh, no.
Let's go back to Monte Nicholson. He is the Redskins player involved in the death of that 21-year-old woman who it's looking more and more like she overdosed at his house. This is one of the dumber quotes I think I've ever heard. So keep in mind, this gal was at his house and she died. He said, quote, I'd like it to make it known that this week has been extremely hard on not only myself, but Julia's friends and family as well. Yes, I'm really glad that he pointed out that the girl who died, it's probably been tough on her family and her friends in addition to him.
Yeah.
What a stupid thing to say. Hey, I know your daughter died, so I bet this is tough for you too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I really don't know what's going to happen to him, but he played this last weekend, by the way. And somebody said, were you pressured into playing? And he said, at the end of the day, it was my decision. I wasn't forced into anything, which I feel like is also what his defense is going to be for that girl who probably OD'd at his house.
It might have also been a situation where he was like, I have to get as many checks as possible, but to pay all the lawyer bills.
Ooh, that I'm about to have to pay. That is a really good point. That is a really good point.
I know.
Adrian Peterson sat out practice yesterday, but will he play? Bill Callahan said he'll be ready for Sunday. No question in my mind. So if you're concerned about Adrian Peterson, it looks like he will, in fact, play this weekend.
I am concerned about Adrian Peterson.
Well, it looks like he will play this weekend and probably isn't about to go to jail like some of his teammates.
How much further ahead can Frank Gore get than Adrian Peterson is my question.
Frank Gore could be immortal. He could play forever and pass Emmitt Smith in like the year 2030.
Instead of putting a bust in the Hall of Fame of him, they just actually put him in the Hall of
Fame. Yeah, they'll just put Frank Gore in there. He's like, I've lived long enough. I'll just hang out here in this Lucite case for a while. All right. I have one good bit of information for you about the Washington Redskins this season. I know you're thinking, how can that be? They're 1-9. Mm-hmm. They're terrible, terrible, terrible. Well, and by the way, that's the $4 ticket game. The Lions against the Redskins, you can get tickets for $4. Ooh. But what if I told you the Redskins were number one in the league at one thing, and it's not sucking? That's probably the Giants.
Wow, we got a big drop segment.
So many things. I would say that they are good. They're number one team at running the ball on second down.
Nope. All right. They're the number one team at losing the fastest. More specifically.
That is sucking.
Well, that's because I added the losing part.
Okay.
They just happen to lose all their games.
What are we talking about?
They're the number one team in the league at finishing their games the quickest. Their average game time is 2 hours and 57 minutes. A Washington Times analysis determined that when the NFL expanded to 32 teams back in 2002, the Redskins would be the first team since 2011 to average a game under 3 hours for the season.
Oh, wow.
Take that for data.
So even though they're terrible, at least they're efficient while they're terrible. Yeah, so there's that.
They're really, it's like Luka. Whenever Luka gets on the court, he scores and does lots of things very quickly. Kevin still won't give him any.
Yeah, Kevin still hates him.
Credit.
No, no, no. Guys, how glad are you that this didn't happen? In 2012, Andy Reid, when he was still with the Eagles, you know who the quarterback is that he wanted to take in the draft?
In 2012?
2012.
I'm going to say it was Cam Newton.
He's really, really good even still.
Okay. Cam Newton's not really good. Oh, no. My. Why are you taking shots at Cam Newton right now?
I like Cam Newton as a person. I'm just saying right now he's not super good.
Wayne Gretzky.
Not Wayne Gretzky.
He
Russell,
is the great one.
Russell Wilson.
Everybody wanted him, man, except for the first two rounds of teams.
Exactly. So when they got into the third round, the Eagles were getting ready to draft Russell Wilson. But Broadus's protege, John Schneider, swooped in, beat him to it, so they took Nick Foles 13 picks later. If they would have taken Russell Wilson, would they have more or less Super Bowls than they have now? Or the same?
Same.
Still won?
Yeah, and Andy Reid would be gone.
Still gone?
Because
he didn't get that Super Bowl with Wilson?
Because they were tired of him at that point.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? To be honest, I think Philly would have been upset that they took a short quarterback. And they wouldn't have. I don't think they would have given him a chance. I think that they would have been furious with what they got, why he went after that guy. No, but it's there it is. A guy like Andy Reid can recognize the kind of talent and what he can work with. Man, that would have been amazing.
I love my little dudes.
That would have been frightening, man. God.
So a lot of people believe that Nelson Aguilar has a burner cell phone account or a burner Twitter account, excuse me, at EFAM33, because there's a lot of comments that are like defending him and going against Carson Wentz. Here's an example. Maybe it's because Wentz doesn't throw a better ball than Foles, making us harder for us to catch. And then there's just
for us to catch.
All those things. And then there was a poll. Should Aguilar, has the hate gone too far? 53% said, no, it's justified. And so he responded, Philly fans are the worst in the league. Won't appreciate till we gone. We? Us?
The whole team?
So let's go directly to the man himself. Do you or do you not have a burner account that destroys the Eagles?
Oh, this burner account thing?
Yeah, can we talk about that?
I mean, yeah, go ahead.
It's not me.
Okay.
So which one of you guys are going to tweet, it's not Nelson?
Because I wasn't even going to address it.
So which one are you guys going to, you going to run it right now on your Twitter account?
I'll put the video right up.
I wasn't going to
address
it.
How did you become aware of that? How did you hear it?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I have a friend that's in Tampa. We're FaceTiming today in my break. And he's like, this is crazy. Somebody has talked about you having a burner account, which is nuts. And I was like, oh, what is he talking about? And then I talked to our PR people and they told me. So I just want to know which one of you, my friends that are here in the media, are going to go on your Twitter handle and say, all right, stop playing with Nelson. This wasn't him.
Yeah, none of them are because they probably don't believe you.
Nobody likes him, man.
Yeah.
If you reach out to try and catch a football, they would believe you. But since you short arm them all the time.
One more, by the way, from EFAM33 Somebody tweeted out at Eagles Nation, Aguilar ranked 124 out of 124 wide receivers by Pro Football Focus. And he goes, Pro Football Focus don't know anything. None of those dudes ever even stepped on an NFL field.
God, he needs to get off social media, man.
No, it's not him.
From the 972, has Kevin not watched any Luka highlights? I watched him for the first time ever on YouTube last night because y'all pumped him up so much, and now I'm a believer in Luka magic.
Literally go back to the draft.
He has a lot of triple-doubles.
He was my number one prospect.
Just watch one of his games to see if you like him or not.
I was... No. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll crosstalk with the G-Vag Nation, see if they think Luke is any good. Next, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.